Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today I'm sitting down with UFC fighter and gelato-sponsored athlete Gilbert Urbina to discuss the UFC taking THC off the banned substances list and what that means for the future of athletes and cannabis. All this and more in this episode of Conversations in Cannabis. Gilbert Urbina, UFC fighter who has just signed a sponsorship deal with Gelato. Really appreciate you taking the time today, brother.
Yeah, no problem, man. It's actually a really big deal for me, man. Coming from where I come from, so it's really cool to be on the show with you right now, brother.
Oh yeah, man. Appreciate you. And I mean, you're doing big things right now. I believe you're just coming off of a win in the UFC. Just really getting your fighting career kind of started. I believe you are now, what, six fights in your professional fighting career, seven fights in?
I got about 10 fights, 7-2 right now. But, you know, as far as the record goes, I'm 1-0 in the UFC. So that's where I'm at right now. Oh, I'm in the big 1-0. And I got my next fight coming February 3rd here real soon.
Nice, man. Well, I mean, what got you into fighting in the first place? Because, I mean, obviously it's such a niche form of profession amongst, you know, athletic people. You know, most people are like, oh, I'm going to go into football. I'm going to go into basketball. But, like, when you're thinking about professional fighting, what gave you that pathway into that industry?
You know, growing up, man, my pops is always pushing us. And after me and my brothers, I got two older brothers, Hector and Eli, who also made it into the UFC as well years back. Do the Ultimate Fighter and you know, that reality TV show. All three of my brothers were actually on that reality TV show, The Ultimate Fighter. Nice. We all got to get some exposure there through, like, you know, ESPN, and back then I believe it was like Spike when my brother was on, and Eli was on Fox Sports 1. But yeah, my pops is always pushing us, man, since we was kids. Like, it was always in the wrestling area. We grew up in Northwest Ohio, so it was a real big wrestling area, you know. So we grew, and that was like the first martial art we really learned was how to wrestle. And as dominant as it is, you know, it translates very well into mixed martial arts, into fighting, into the UFC. So, you know, we pops is always pushing us, man, whether it was going to be, because we love football. We played a lot of football growing up, played basketball. We played a lot, all the sports. So pops is always like, hey, man, it's going to be one of two things that takes you to the next level. It's going to be your mind and academics, or it's going to be your body and connecting the two in athletics, you know? So we've always just been wrestling and staying busy. The off season too, and the off seasons, we're always just moving, you know? So it just tied in well, man. Our oldest brother, Hector, was about 18 when I was about, man, 10 or 11 years old. And, this guy started his pro career, and my pop's chasing right behind him the whole time. And you know, just pressing him to get in the, not just the UFC, but just keep winning, you know, because everybody's so pressed to go make it to the UFC right away. But in reality, you got to be prepared and ready for the competition in the UFC. So, oh, yeah. You know, just feel like growing up, just seeing my older brother go through things. It's been my older brother Hector and Eli. It's just like, you know, we're learning as we go. And this is my 10th year as a professional now. And it's just something that we've been chasing, man. We've been chasing for a long time coming.
Well, you're definitely killing it coming off of a win. When you're talking to other athletes within the UFC, you know, obviously Nick and Nate Diaz, very famously pro cannabis, having gotten banned for it, having gotten all these sanctions for it. Joe Rogan being the commentator, obviously being a massive promoter of cannabis. What do you feel like was the final impetus? Like, what was the talks between athletes and the administration that kind of was like, hey, it's about time we finally take cannabis off of the banned substances list?
You know, I truly believe the UFC knows what's good for them. And I think it's this right here, man. It's this $1 billion industry right now, man. It's pulling in so much money. Regardless of how the economy may be, you know, fluctuating, however it is, cannabis is still booming, man. Hey, everybody needs a little bit of cannabis in their life to feel good, to go throughout their day. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about it because the stigmas, you know, it's still the devil's lettuce. But in reality, they haven't seen the bright side of it. You know, they haven't seen the good side of it. I think it was one time I watched a video on it was like Weedikid or something like that online. And it was showing kids, man, kids going through like epileptic, like disorders and stuff, eat a gummy and it stops, you know, like just little things like that would just like crazy for my mind, you know, and a lot of people still haven't seen stuff like that. But yeah, we got kids going through stuff and adults, even our loved ones, you know what I mean? Our loved ones are going through things, and cannabis is truly a cure, man. It's medicine. And I would say, as far as the UFC, as far as the reason they lifted their ban, I would say is for that money, man. I feel like a lot of the sponsors right now in the UFC, they're kind of alternating. You got like Prime in the mix. You got that new sports drink Prime. You got that new protein Slate. You got a Monster in the mix, right? You kind of got a wide variety of sponsors, right? And we still have yet to see a cannabis brand, but truly, I believe one day here, real soon, if things keep going good, we'll see one of these in the octagon, man. Right in the corner, right before we get out. Kind of just like Connor, right? Connor with his proper 12. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, you certainly have seen a lot of alcohol in the mix with fighting, both on the boxing side and MMA. So it would make sense to eventually have cannabis. I am curious, though, with the amount of athletes, you know, that aren't in professional sports that are using cannabis as part of their training regimen or recovery regimen. Like, how knowledgeable are athletes and their staff on cannabinoids, and like, are they actually using it as part of a regimen? Is that, you know, in discussions as part of teams and team doctors as far as recovery or sleeping and stuff like that? Or are people just, you know, using it just for relaxation and just, you know, general usage?
You know, I feel like a lot of people these days, I would say more people than not, are using it for like the general usage, you know, to smoke a joint or whatever it is they please on, like that pleases them, a vape cartridge, whatever it is. But truly, I think, you know, I feel like if people looked more into the studies, man, like it wasn't until I moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I realized like all of the CBD products they had out there. I went to some like nice lab. It was called Yodab Labs, and they showed me all their CBD products. And you know, it's a component from marijuana, obviously not psychoactive like THC, but you know, all the CBD products they had, it was like CBA, CBD, CBC. Like they were showing all kinds of different components, and some were like suppressants for hunger, some were like helping for all kinds of different stuff. And to be honest, it kind of opened my mind to, you know, to even like just sharing it with people. I think in 2019, I was told by the owners at Jackson Wink, the head coach, he told me, he's like, hey, man, I had a sponsor that was a smoke shop. They had given me a big bong after I won my fight. It was a main event fight. They gave me a bong, and I held it up in an Instagram post. And coach was like, hey, man, I saw what you did. You got a lot of love for it. But I'll tell you what, like, as far as endorsements go in the future, like you could be killing a future sponsorship with Nike. Or he's like, you don't know how talented you are, son. He's like, you're talented. He's like, and there could be future endorsements that you're just sabotaging at this moment, like way before your career even like begins to digest, you know? And to me, it made me think. I was just like, man, like he agrees with what I'm doing, but he's also like, yo, there's a whole other side to it. You know, that's kind of how America is. That's kind of how I feel like the world is on the views of cannabis. But as far as my endorsements go now, man, I'm locked in with Gelato brand, and they're taking care of me, man. And I feel like once fighters and other pro athletes across the globe start seeing the amount of help they can get from these brands, you know, like I'm not just getting free weed, man. These guys are really truly helping me out. They're doing things for me. They're pushing for me. They're pulling for me. And you know, eventually, as I keep growing, hopefully they keep growing the same, and maybe we can grow with the sport and the UFC, and we'll see a lot more professional cannabis, man.
Well, I was about to say George and Cody Sadler. I mean, absolute legends in the cannabis industry. I mean, having originally created PV Vapes, sold it, you know, started Gelato, blew that up. Absolutely beautiful branding. Shout out to Cody for, you know, being the creative direction on that and making sure that, you know, it absolutely pops. I love what they're doing. When you're, you know, coming into a deal like this, like, how does that relationship even come to fruition? You know what I mean? Like, how did you meet George and Cody? Or did you meet somebody ancillary to the brand and they kind of introduce you? Like, what was the pathway to actually starting this?
You know, fighting a big shout out to George and Cody, first off, like you said, yeah, those guys are doing great things, man, for the cannabis community. You should, like, I feel like people look at gelato and they see it. Yeah, it's a growing brand, but man, they don't see what they do on the inside. You know, all the stuff they do on the outside that people aren't really looking at. They're doing so much, man. They're giving away so much stuff and free stuff and buy one get one deals here and here. Take this, you get some of this. It's man, gelato brand's growing for that reason. I'd say is like you know they got so much love for the market that everybody's eating, man, and it's cool. But like you said, how it came together. So I fought on The Ultimate Fighter, and there were some people working for PV at the time. My buddy Rob Wurz, he's actually the head of manufacturing there for Gelato. He was tuned in, and me and him kind of got in contact through social media, and I seen what they had and with PV, and I was like, hey man, that stuff looks nice, man. He's like, yeah, maybe we'll get you a hat, or next time you're out in Vegas, I'll meet you out there and show you a little bit about it. And I was like, hey man, you know what? Maybe you can go watch a fight with me. So we went and watched Volkanovski fight Brian Ortega. We shared some joints on the way in during the intermissions, and we enjoyed the show. And that's kind of how my sponsorship with PV kicked in. And then once I had my fight, The Ultimate Fighter finale, I was sponsored by PV on like day's notice, man. They helped me, my brothers, with flights and all kinds of stuff that like would have been out of pocket, and you know it would have been super expensive. These guys went out of their way, helped make things easy for me, and really showed great support. And now our relationship is good, man. I feel like the cool thing about cannabis, besides any other brand or like sponsor, like I was saying, Slate or like any other brand, these guys treat me like family, man. And I think that's what cannabis does. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe they don't use cannabis like I do, but like they understand the environment that they're working with. They're working with a bunch of like friendly people, like user friendly people who like, we love gelato, man. Like I'm sure everybody that works for gelato, and I've been to their warehouses out there, everybody's in a good mood, man. Everybody's in work and doing their job, and it's cool to see, man. It's cool to see how cannabis is taking over the world.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Cody and George are absolutely a vibe. I mean, they party hard too, man. Like I've heard some stories, bro.
They shut down the shows.
Yeah, they're absolutely nuts. But I mean, from the cultural side of things, I mean, these are guys that originally were garage growers to start. I mean, they had a retail operation during the medical days. Like they understand the verticality before they became as large as they are. I mean, these are, you know, people that came from the culture of cannabis and developed into an MSO versus somebody that just had venture capital and was like, fuck it, I'm gonna start at the top.
Very true. Yeah. And to hear their story is like, it's so inspiring to all of us, man. I mean, like who can't say they can start something in their garage? You know what I mean? Like you think you're too good to start something in your garage, small business. It's like, hey bro, get real, brother. We got some big dogs in the house now. And these guys are doing it, man. They're still growing. Crazy to see like the numbers and see the their interviews and the articles they make on gelato and how like they're one of the fastest growing brands in the game right now, man. It's awesome. It's crazy to me because I'm so new to it too. I'm one of their gelato's first sponsored athletes, and it's like I'm new to this. I feel like they're new to this growth too. It's like, man, we're just all growing fast and we're buckled in, man.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely great, great father and son team over there. And you know, their edibles, I mean, even just, you know, flower side on the edible side, like, you know, how genius was it for the last bite, you know, just creating that fudge at the bottom that everybody knows from, you know, from eating the ice cream back in the day, you know what I mean?
Collins, man. It's fire.
So, you know, when you're thinking about these types of endorsements, you know, moving forward, and you mentioned, you know, hopefully we'll start to see large scale brands in the actual octagon, full scale branded sponsorships for the UFC versus individual fighters. From an individual fighter side, I mean, how many athletes right now do you feel like are looking for that type of sponsorship? And I mean, like, what, from your perspective, what would be the best way for, say, a brand that has, say, a cool product or a cool niche within the industry to reach out to athletes within the industry that might be interested in doing these types of things?
You know, I've had a lot of people recently ask me, bro, they're like, yo, how do you land a sponsorship like that? Like, how do you do it? And, you know, I feel like I feel like anything in this world, man, it's about the relationships you carry. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not out here just messaging these guys all day, like, hey, man, what are you doing? Like, obviously, I'm not annoying these guys, but like, I truly show them that I care about their product. I love what Gelato has to offer. And so, you know, I would say as far as an athlete reaching out to a brand, man, give it a try. Who's not to say maybe we'll send you a little package, or you never know, man. That's how things start. Relationships start. It starts from something little, and they're just building blocks. You know what I mean? And showing love goes a long way, man. I feel like a lot of people, they get their stuff, they get their gift, and they're just like, they want it all to themselves. They don't want to show anybody and tell anybody, hey, this guy sent me this, or I got this sweet rash guard in the mail, or this sweet shirt in the mail. It's like all hidden. But man, when you share love, I swear it just multiplies, man. It truly does.
100%. 100%. And when you're say you're looking at the totality of the industry right now, and you're looking at legacy players, you know, like Nate and Nick, that are obviously not like actively fighting anymore, you know, are true cannabis, say, connoisseurs and advocates, as they've been doing it throughout their careers. How many of these athletes do you feel like will eventually go on to develop their own cannabis brands? Because, I mean, when you look at, you know, the NFL, or when you look at the NBA, you see people like Al Harrington creating Viola, like these large scale brands based on their own experiences. Is that the pathway for fighters now? Are people talking about that?
You know, I think it's definitely a pathway for all kinds of athletes, man, and musicians, and all kinds of entertainers. You know what I mean? I wanted to bring up, rest in peace to Elias Theodoro. Elias Theodoro was actually a UFC fighter, longtime UFC fighter, veteran, very well known Canadian that used cannabis and was super, super big on it. He passed away. I'm not too sure of the details, but he was one of those fighters that was like, you know, getting on his way out of the UFC and really promoting cannabis and the benefits. And, you know, I think that's what we need. That's what cannabis needs, man. That's what cannabis truly needs, is more people putting out the truth behind it, you know, and not just to the homies that are stoners. Of course, they're going to always hear us and be like, yeah, man, I'm right here with you. But like, to people that don't know, you know, like, it's definitely something that's been looked at as like the devil's lettuce and certain things, is that stigma, right? But you know, even Anthony Rumble Johnson was another one, RIP. He was a fighter that was branching out and out there in Florida trying to work with cannabis and stuff like that. I mean, I feel like it's something big, man. Who's another famous entertainer, from Red 22, that brand.
You're talking about Chavo, yeah. Odijon. Yeah.
I love smoking his cannabis too, man. It's like, it's something special, man. It's something unique when you can go to a brand and you see a product from a certain individual. Like, oh, this is his style. This is what Khalifa Kush, you know, right. Like Khalifa, like, who doesn't come out to Vegas and be like, man, I want to try Khalifa's stuff for the first time. Like, you know, I feel like those little branches from the brands to the entertainers, like little strain, whether it's a strain or a business, for instance. Yeah. I think it's something that people are going to start looking at more and more, because man, we got billionaires now that in the cannabis industry, you know, it's crazy, but it's real life, man. It's real life, and it's happening right now in 2024.
Well, and something else that's kind of been, you know, exploding proliferation, at least in discussions, has been psychedelics and stuff like that. If, you know, for recovery, for PTSD, possible legalization in certain areas. Obviously, Oregon was the first out of the gate to legalize for therapeutic use only. Colorado looking to legalize right now. It's decriminalized in certain areas of California and in Colorado. Are athletes looking at other forms of treatment such as psychedelics? Is there a possibility that athletes might start to push for once psychedelics start to get legalized in certain areas for that to be also on the table? Like, what when you're looking at the banned substances list as a whole, I should ask, what are the discussions around what's currently happening culturally in the therapeutic use space?
Yeah, man, I feel like eventually things are going to start they're going to really start, you know, debating on what's right and what's wrong, you know, because it's like you said earlier, you brought up the Diaz brothers. Everybody loves the Diaz brothers, man. They're just not scared to portray who they are and what they do. And, you know, growing up, me and my brothers, we're all fighters too. And we've met Nick a couple times. Every time I would see him, I'd be like, hey man, to see some brothers go out there and do what they do, it's just like, it pours out on us too, man. Like we're doing this shit as well, you know? And even with the cannabis tied in, and it's cool. But like you said, the psychedelic, like mushrooms and stuff like that, I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of things that people are going through, like PTSDs and stuff like you're saying like that. And I feel like, those microdose things are working. I feel like, as far as, and not so much like the psychoactive mushrooms, but just mushrooms in general, like lion's mane and like cordyceps, stuff like that. That's like just good for the human body, the mind. It's like, I actually just got a sponsorship from, it was just a small little sponsorship, but this is kind of how I was saying a sponsorship can grow. I actually just got a small sponsorship from a brand called Life Cycle, and they actually sent me some cordyceps and some lion's mane. So it's something I've been trying as well recently. And I feel like I'm getting pretty good sleep on top of the great sleep I've already been getting with gelato. It's pretty cool, man. And you know, the clarity, the mental clarity, it's a lot of good things, man. I feel like now we're getting more and more champions in the UFC supporting brands like Life Cycle, and you know, it's growing, man. I feel like somebody's got to be that there's going to be that brand that's got to step their way into the UFC first, you know. And hey, maybe Gelato will be the one, man. Maybe Gelato's gonna be it.
Fingers crossed. I mean, yeah. Dude, George and Cody will. I mean, those are two guys that absolutely, you know, love the lifestyle, and yes, would definitely be the ones that I would like to see take the first step in that direction. When you're kind of looking at cannabis usage as a whole in the UFC, I mean, obviously, you know, I believe there was around a 50%, a survey done, it was around 50% of athletes that are in mixed martial arts outside of UFC and whatever, mixed martial arts as a whole, are kind of using cannabis. Do you think that more people, A, will come out about their cannabis usage and be honest with, you know, the public, saying, hey, yeah, I use it. Maybe I'm not an advocate, but you know what? I'm going to be honest and admit that I'm using it as part of my training regimen, or am I using it recreationally to relax at the end of the day? And B, do you think that people who are in the other 50% might start to try it now that it's A, off the banned substances list, and B, people are starting to become more honest about it?
Yeah, you know, truly, I think we're going to see a lot more people come out and try, man. Typically people wouldn't, because it's on a banned substance list. So like, why would you want to put anything in you that's banned, right? Regardless of whether it's fight night or a week out from the fight or 2 weeks out from the fight or 3 weeks out from the fight, you know? I feel like it was that stigma, man. I mean, you put it on a list with steroids and EPOs and pharmaceuticals, like, man, I think they just put a ban on tramadol recently through the UFC. So like, yeah, like they're altering the list right now. They're looking through all the pharmaceuticals and stuff. And man, people are on all kinds of stuff. You know, people are, you can only imagine, you know, what a person goes through, especially a fighter, you know, getting beat up day to day and you're feeling beat up. Most of the time they're like, hey, take ibuprofen. You know, I don't even take ibuprofen. I just realized like, man, shit hurts, but there's other ways to go about that, you know. And I think just a better way, but to cure, man, it's medicine, you know. Cannabis has been it for me the last 8 or 9 years throughout my career. Cannabis has been the way of unwinding and even unplugging from the sport sometimes, because it's overwhelming, man. Fight, it's like, it's not like any other sport where you can just go out and play ball with the boys and, you know, you're going hanging out, you know, like you're in there. This guy's trying to beat you up because he's got a fight next week. This guy's trying to beat you up because, I don't know, he must have something against you from last sparring class, or you just don't know what to expect from a day to day, you know? So it's important to take care of yourself. I think definitely we'll see a lot more people using, and that 50%, I feel like I feel like there was more, there was a bigger percentage for people that said they use CBD. So I feel I feel like people use it. They just were always on the hush and like, hey, CBD is legal. So yeah, we use CBD, but no, we don't use that THC. Right. I feel like it was just something hidden, you know. We're going to have to come up with those new numbers, huh? We'll have to see what it is in 2024.
Yeah, start to unveil the hidden figures that people are hiding it. When you're looking at the totality of the athletic space, I mean, do you think that more sports will start to come on board with cannabis as a whole now that UFC has kind of taken that step?
Yeah, I definitely think so, man. You know, Dana White, and you know the whole unit with the UFC, those guys are, I feel like, They're in that loop of like they're right on the edge of just making things happen. You know what I mean? Even when it was COVID time, all the sports closed down, and Dana and the show was like, "Hey, man, we're gonna keep this going." You know, the fans need their entertainment. People need their entertainment. I feel like they definitely like set the tone for a lot of things. I think we're starting to see more football players like Max Crosby and them smoking the cigars, and like we're starting to see everybody smoke cigars now in the locker rooms and shit. It's cool. It's awesome. Don't get me wrong, I love it. But like I feel like with the openness in the UFC and like the freedom of speech we get, I was able to shout out Gelato after my last fight. Like I didn't really so much say my sponsor Gelato. I was like, hey, anybody that wants to smoke some free gelato. I said, I don't want to sabotage the show, but here that wants to smoke some free gelato, we'll be out back burning down. And a lot of people were like boiling up about it. Michael Bisping, Karen Bryant, like a lot of people were like, wow, that was crazy. Like it was a cool thing to do, right? But I feel like eventually we'll see more and more athletes stepping out of their comfort zones and promoting the brands, brands.
Hopefully we'll see more athletes, you know, coming out and giving that type of shout out, you know, after a fight. Cause I mean, just on a cultural scale, it lends credibility to the industry as a whole, you know, for markets that are say currently restricted, either just medical, not going adult use, or markets where they are saying like, look, you know, we don't want cannabis at all. Like, you know, being able to see athletes that aren't, you know, sitting on a couch doing nothing, you know, going out there and actually making something happen every single day. Sure. Do you think that will help also roll some of these states over to rethink their own cannabis laws?
I mean, I think that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, like when pro athletes around the nation are able to use cannabis, but the state has regulations. I mean, that kind of like, you know, it kind of like butts in, you know, like how can you be using cannabis in an illegal state, right? Yeah. People are doing it regardless. I feel like it's getting to the point where like, you know, you come out here to Vegas and people are smoking all over the place. Like yeah. Vegas smells like cannabis, man. It's
I live in Clark County, man. I know. I'm down in Henderson.
Yeah, it smells like cannabis. Or like this last time we visited San Diego for the first time in a while, and yeah, Cali too, man. I just feel like it's just something that like it's just accepted, you know. And I feel like once people start accepting it, it'll just be. I mean, man, people are accepting people smoking cigarettes. People are expecting people. They're accepting people getting belligerently drunk out of their minds and all over the ground and, you know, can't control themselves. It's like, what is this doing? You know, yeah. I feel good right now. If anything, it just enhances the feeling, like a feeling good, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, well, if you look at, you know, Nevada, I mean, obviously social use lounges are going to start opening up, especially people here in Clark County are super excited about it. The state also doubled possession limits overnight on January 1st, going from an ounce to 2.5 ounces.
We have two of these, bro. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like it's such a beautiful thing that people are now allowed to really, you know, experience cannabis in a true way. Do you think that there will come a time in the future, and it, you know, obviously it'll probably take federal legalization so that these casinos aren't risking their gambling licenses, but will there be a time in the future when the UFC will allow people to smoke weed at a UFC fight?
Man, I feel like I've gone to UFC fights and people are smoking weed in the UFC fights. Like, I feel like it's as far as people want to go, you know? Like, I mean, It's always up to just everyone's discretion. I feel like even a federal officer's discretion, like, oh, should I go take this guy's vape pen away from him? You know, when I'm at the events here in Vegas, I feel like everybody's got vape pens and, you know, they're doing their thing. They got their, you know, but even me and my boys, whenever we go watch the fights, usually the Gelato guys come out. We'll watch the fights here at the T-Mobile, and in between fights, be like, "Hey, let's go to the smoke area. Let's go to the smoke area. We'll bust out a couple lollies, enjoy them, share them with the people around us, talk
Oh, yeah.
about the, you know, it's all love, man. And to be honest, it feels awesome to be a part of the Gelato brand and sharing that love, you know, and going out and just sharing it and talking about it, being about it. It's something special, man, for sure. And hopefully we'll see some stuff like that soon. Hopefully we can do an interview and just, you know, get one sparkling up. It's like we're doing.
Hell yeah. Well,
Joe, pass it to Joe Rogan. Here you go, Joe. Try this auto, brother.
Bro, that's the absolute dream. I mean, just obviously, you know, Joe Rogan very cannabis forward. Obviously, you very cannabis forward. I definitely want to see more people come out and be as cannabis forward and really help the sport proliferate. And knowing that this is a substance that, you know, can relax you at the end of the day, but also can also help with your regimen and making sure that you're doing the right kind of recovery and making sure that you're healing properly. So dude, really appreciate your time. Looking forward to your next fight. I believe you mentioned it at the top, but if you want to mention it again, go right ahead. I really definitely want people to check you out.
Yes, sir. I'll be fighting February 3rd here in Las Vegas at the UFC Apex. Like Dana White's bat cave, his little lair he's got there. Yeah, we'll be fighting there. I believe I'm the second fight on the main card. So main card starts at 7 p.m. And yeah, I'll probably be on around 7:30 or 8. And it's gonna be a hell of a show, man. Hopefully we hear about some gelato, and if anybody's around, we'll be out back burning down that gelato, man. You're more welcome to come join us.
We would like to thank Gilbert for his time and being on today's episode. Make sure to check him out in action at UFC Apex on February 3rd. For more information, please visit www.ufc.com. And that'll do it for us today. Thanks again for listening, and as always, make sure to stay tuned to the next episode here on Conversations in Cannabis.